Hello friends, my name is Amrita Haldankar and I am a faculty for travel and tourism and I teach in colleges and institutes across Mumbai. Now this is a subject which is dealing with international tourism as the name suggests. Now if we are talking about tourism industry, the study of international tourism aspect is also as important as the domestic one. Let us see what is chapter first named for, and that's the international tourism management. This is the session that we are going to deal with this chapter. What are the key points that we are going to cover? Are the scope and the importance of international tourism? What are the important motivations for travel and tourism? That is why people might be traveling. International tourism and comparison with it to the tourism difference, tourism domestic. What are the differences in between? What constitutes international tourism? What all things are included when we are talking about tourism on an international front or the foreign tours? International tourism and its Indian perspective. Where does India stand when we are talking about international or inbound tours as well as the outbound ones? Let us check these points one by one. Now definitions, we have done many such definitions wherein we are talking about what a tourist is, what is a traveler, what are the tourist destinations. So these are certain definitions here where we are trying to again go back and try to understand what the tourism phenomena is. The people who are traveling to and staying outside their usual environment for not more than one consecutive year for leisure, business or other purposes. That is the definition that World Tourism Organization gives. Next is the tourism is a temporary short-term movement. Here the words temporary and a short-term movement are more important. Of people to destinations outside the places they normally live and work in. Their activities during the stay at each destination. It includes movements for all purposes. This is the Tourism Society of England's definition. So there are many other definitions. This most of these definitions cover the fact and have the common terms, which are the short-term movement. Further ahead, it is the temporary stay of those people, and it will be outside our usual environment of living or working. So when we are talking about tourism in such, and especially the international ones, we are talking about going out of our own country, that is crossing the international borders. So what happens is this differences or this short term movement is going out of our own country and experiencing a culture which is completely different than ours. So that will be constituting the international tourism. Now when we are talking about scope of tourism. What are the things that we have inside tourism? Now, these are the purpose of tourism. That is, what might provoke people to go ahead and take a tour. Organization of tours. How this particular tours are organized. Financial outlay. That is, the costings that are involved in it. Facilitators' responsibilities, the person who is arranging the tour, what are his responsibilities or his duties. Security and other protections, obviously if we are going at such a far away place from our home, there needs to be certain security and safety measures that need to be taken into account. Revenues for the treasury, and here is the part where we are concerned with what the country gains with respect to international tourism. Now in many other chapters that we have done, we have understood that international tourism or domestic tourism, both of them are very essential for the country itself. It is said that it is the lifeline of any country, and especially the developing ones, because there are many benefits of tourism to that particular country, and the most important ones would be the foreign exchange that the country earns with regards to international tourism. It is also the employment opportunities that are created, which further ahead raises the entire standard of living of that particular country. So these are the foremost important things which tourism industry can gift to a particular country that we are talking about. Let us see all these points one by one. Now, purpose of tourism. When we are talking about tourism, we are talking about movement of a person from one place to another, and there are certain reasons for it. So here are certain purposes of tourism that we have listed. The first one is the relaxation. Second is the business discussions. Now, when we talk about relaxations, we know that we take a tour outside, and most of the times it's a pleasure tour. It's something of a stress buster. So we are going to take a break from our work, go and have a relaxing time, have a family time, and come back. So that's the main reason why we are traveling. This can be a short haul trip or this can be a long haul trip. So we are talking about short haul, say about 4 to 5 days or 2 to 3 days. And when we are talking about long haul trip, it might be covering an entire country, or it might be say from 12 days onwards, or it might also be taking a cruise in Mediterranean or other places. So that will be something of a relaxing mood for us. Ideally, this relaxation trip, so the purpose of it is not just sightseeing, but taking a break and relaxing itself. It can also be spa treatments or visits to certain resorts, health resorts like that, which are further coming also in medical treatments or other health tourism that we know. Then we have the business discussions. Now, we know that the way the globalization is taking place and has took place, there are many, many multinational companies which are coming. So ideally, when a person travels from one place to another, there can be business related issues with it. For example, I am staying in a country A and I want to visit a client in country B to have certain business meetings or discussions which need me present there physically. So that will be because of business, why I am traveling to that place. So that's business discussion. So purpose of tourism would be business. Next is education. Now we know how the education field has boomed up. There are many universities across the world. There are many cities which are coming up as the educational hubs. So there are things like student exchange programs. There are things like teacher exchange programs. There are things like global MBAs, wherein you are going and visiting different countries and trying to understand how the cultural aspect and the marketing, how the cultural aspect or the perspective affects the marketing of certain products. So over here, this is something which comes under education. So students are traveling to that particular place and it's a short-term place. So it is the education purpose. There is also tourism wherein there are educational trips to a place. For example, if I am studying architecture and I want to visit the place where such an architecture is there, that would again come as educational. So the purpose of tourism would be to get education. Then we have the medical treatments. So it might come under the medical tourism. So when I'm taking a tour, I'm taking a tour because I want to have a medical treatment. So this can be because I am staying in a country where that particular medical treatment is not available, or it is available but it is more expensive and I won't be able to afford it. That's the reason I'm traveling to a different country or to have such a medical treatment, which might be easily available there, or it might be specialized. That particular country is specialized in that in giving that that medical treatment at a lower price. So maybe that's the reason why I'm taking a tour. So further ahead, I can combine it with sightseeing tours in that particular place. Then of course, the sightseeing. I'm simply going because I want to look at that place. I'm simply visiting Niagara Falls because I want to see Niagara Falls. I'm visiting India because I want to see the Taj. Alright, so these are the sightseeing tours and I want to see and experience the place. That is why I am going over there. Then we have the religious and rituals. Now across the world there are many religions. Some of the religions makes it mandatory for person to travel to a particular religious site. The others simply have things like these are religious sites which are famous because of their mythic powers or some other things that are those are important with respect to that particular religion. So when we are talking about Hindu shrines, we know that there are many religious travelers who travel inside India across various temples. There is Chardham Yatra and other such temples which are a must visit for a Hindu. Further ahead we have the Hajj pilgrimage, wherein it's the Islamic religion followers that go to Hajj and visit Mecca Medina. Then there are the Christianities, then the Jainism and the Hindu, the Jainism and the Buddhist temples and monasteries. So each and every religion has their own specific beliefs, and there are people who follow this religion, who follow these beliefs, and so they are on a trip. So throughout the world, we have many such religious trips. So these are some of the main purposes as to why a traveler might travel. So purpose of tourism would be here. Now, organization of tours. Now, when we are talking about tours, any tour which is going to take place has to be well organized. Now, here, ideally, when we are talking about tours, it can be individual tours or in group tours. Now, when we talk about individual, we are not talking about one person. We are talking about, say, a family of four, but they are going individually to that place. So, suppose if I am going with my own family and we have our own private car which has been hired by us, and we are going to a place, say, coming back after 5 to 6 days, that will be my individual trip. I can either plan it on my own or I can tell a travel agent to plan it. Further ahead, we have in group tours, wherein I as a family is a part of a bigger group. It may be that I might not know these particular members, the other members of the group, or I might know, wherein I am joined with my extended family and we are having a group tour together. So these are organized group tours. Depending upon what type of tour you are going, the group tours are further divided. There are escorted group tours. There are unescorted group tours, wherein a person only hops in the group, and he is not always with the group, but he is there as a guiding source, and everything else is pre-planned. So this will be organized as group tours or individually. Ideally, the organization of the entire tours is done by a professional tour agency. Now, here again, there can be tour agents, there can be tour operators who are functioning on a larger scale. So, this is all done professionally, wherein it is organized. Most of the things are absolutely pre-planned and most of the reservations are confirmed before the tour departs to that particular place. Covers finalizing of destinations, modes of travel, itinerary, accommodation and food arrangements, local traveling, etc. So this will be an entire tour. So when a person is taking a tour, we are talking about the starting point and the ending point. The travel or a tour would be talking about the entire experience, starting from the pickup from the house of that particular traveler to drop to that traveler's house. So it will be which destination I am going. So recent development, as we know, everyone has easy access to the information online. So we can easily analyze what we are looking for and match the destinations, and we can ask some other professional travel agent to organize such tours for us. And this organization will involve all this constituents pre-planned. So that's organizing of tours. Then we have the financial outlay. Since we have so many aspects of the tour, that we have food, we have accommodation, we have modes of travel, we have the sightseeing, we also have the entry tickets to that particular place. So all this requires costing. So cost of travel, accommodation charges, food expenses, sightseeing cost, shopping budget and incidental expenses. Here we are talking about incidental expenses, that is expenses which are on a personal level, for example porter or baggage charges or some other personal expenses that are incurred. Ideally, incidental expenses are not included in any of the pre-planned group tour package. But cost of travel, underneath we are talking about the to and fro travel. So suppose if I am taking a package of, say, Golden Triangle, that's from Mumbai to Delhi, Agra, Jaipur, my going flight and coming flight would be booked. So that would confirm my cost of travel. Further ahead, the travel also means the inside city to traveling, that is, how am I going from Delhi to Agra, Agra to Jaipur, and the city tour which I might do with respect to, say, by car or by coach, buses. Accommodation charges, when we are talking about accommodation charges, we are talking about staying charges, that is, say, suppose there might be package rates, that is, 2 nights, 3 days packages, package rates. Again, there are inclusions here. The accommodation charges will change as per what type of hotel am I staying at, what type of room I am taking. Next is the food expenses. Most of the trips that we see which are arranged have food expenses. Now here the travelers have a choice whether they want the breakfast included, lunch included or the dinner included. Ideally, when we are traveling, we might want breakfast and dinner fully paid, that is pre-planned, because we can have breakfast at the hotel. Most of the hotels also offer a package wherein breakfast is complimentary to the people who are staying. So lunch will be outside because one is on a sightseeing tour. So these food expenses are already a part of the package, depending upon what type of package we are taking. So these are plans, those are there, that is CP, AP, MAP, those are the kinds of plan, those are the terminologies which are given for the tours, which include breakfast or lunch or dinner or all the meals. Then we have the sightseeing cost. This might include the entry tickets, this might include the guide tickets, this might include the to and fro traveling tickets of traveling fare to that particular place in the city. Then we have the shopping budget. These is not included in the tours. All the other costing might be included if the tour is organized or pre-planned earlier. However, when a person goes for an international trip, the main attraction would be taking some souvenirs back to the country. So that is when we are talking about shopping budgets. There are specific destinations which are very famous for shopping itself. Some of the destinations are famous because they do not have a duty on the goods. So you can shop duty free and come back. Then incidental expenses that I told earlier. So all this is the financial outlay of a tour in general. The next thing that we have is facilitators' responsibilities. Now, when we are talking about facilitators' responsibility, we are talking about the one who organizes the tour, providing transport, arrangement of accommodation, supply of food and beverages, communication network, medical care, publicity and PR, and the sightseeing help. Now here it will cover all the constituents of a tour. So we are talking about how we are going to finalize and reserve the transport, we are going to arrange for the accommodation, further ahead supply of food and beverages if that is included in the tour. Then we have the communication network. Here it is very important that the communication is clear, because if you have paid for certain services, this should be the tourist should have these services because it has already been paid. Further ahead, since I as a tourist is leaving, if you are talking about an international tour, I am leaving my own country and going to other countries, there has to be a good network, because I have say booked from a person who is here. Now here let us take an example. Suppose if I am booking my international package or my international tour package with say an international tour company which has offices in the destination country and in the country of booking, that is India. And in this regards, they have a very good communication network. So suppose if someone is going to pick me and my family at the airport, and someone might not have come, I will have the local number of that particular representative country company in that country. So those are the communication network wherein an international company is concerned. Most of the times what happens is, suppose if I am booking my international tour package with a company who is situated in India, they might not have a representative in some other country, but they have tied up with the companies who are present in the destination country. So it is those people who I can communicate with, and there is internal communication taking place between the two offices, the tour company offices. So here the communication network should be strong and smooth running, and with respect to now how the technology has developed, there are emails which are taking place, wherein there is an ease of communication. So there can be scanned copies of say vouchers, tour vouchers which are necessary. There can be the e-tickets which can be forwarded to the to others. So all this communication is very essential when we are talking about the successful tour organizing. Then we have the medical care, wherein medical care as when a person is traveling on an international journey, it has to be safe, or it has to be all the other health criterias are to be taken care of. There are certain countries which might have certain destinations which are at elevation, so it might be a problem for a person who is having some health related issues which might make it difficult or uncomfortable for that particular person to go and visit such destinations. in that regard, one, it is responsibility of the facilitator to make sure that the person who is going for this tour knows about it. More importantly, there has to be tips which are given for the medical care which is there. There are insurances which are travel insurances which are there, the policies which are there, which can be bought by the travelers. Then we have the publicity, PR and the sightseeing help. So in this regard, the facilitator is trying to promote the destination, so he is publicizing and publicizing those particular sightseeing sites over there, and this is attracting the tourists to that place. So this has to be done in a positive way. And sightseeing help in the sense the organization of the tour has to be smooth, and it should be helpful for the tourist to discover and explore all the entire country or the destination country. The next point that we have is the security and other protections. Now, safety precautions during travel and stay. Protection from external security hazards at stations, ports, airports, hotels and at tourist sites. Insurance against accidents, mediclaim insurances. Now, here again, when a person is traveling, we are talking about the same thing when we talk about the domestic tourism and even in international tourism, security of us is very important. So, we are talking about security in the sense when going on a safety precaution. So we are talking about our own personal security in the sense that there shouldn't be any health related issues while going to a particular destination. We should carry with us our prescriptions which might be needed. We should carry the correct type of clothes while going to that particular destination. So all this is covered in tips, travel tips that we know of. Further ahead, there are the protection from external security hazards. So what might be this external security hazards? It can range from thieves. It can go to other third party hazards that can happen. So it can happen in any of the public places at a destination or the tourist site itself. So ideally, there is a trend which is there in the market that the travel companies before going to a trip has a induction has an induction thing. Wherein they have a meeting of the groups, and they tell the people that these are the travel tips and these are the things that you have to be take care of. So you have to dress in such a way, or you have to take care that all these things are carried with you. And then the mediclaim insurances against many of the hazards that are there. Now, with regards to travel insurances, there are many policies, different policies which are there. Most of them cover lots of things which are essential for a traveler. It can be the mediclaim, wherein if some accident happened when you are outside, this particular insurance will cover the expense that has been incurred. There can be accidental hospitalization. Further ahead, there are third party liability which are taking place. Next, what we have is certain other insurances like insurance on baggage loss, insurance on theft, etc. So, depending upon what suits best for the traveler, these insurances policies are very important. Most of the countries, while in their visa regulations, make sure that there is a mandatory clause. Wherein you need to have a traveler's insurance. Some of the companies also, travel companies, make sure that they advise the travelers to have some insurances as such. So these are the precautions which can be taken for the security and other protections issues when we are talking about tourism, especially the international ones. Now the revenues for the treasury. Now we all know that tourism as an industry is very important for a country. So here is how the country makes money out of it. Taxes, there are sales tax, there are VAT tax, there are service tax on various tourism service providers, road taxes and tolls, entertainment taxes, income tax on travel agents, airlines, hotels, etc. These are the taxes by which the government is making money. So if we are talking about a country which has tourism as a very big industry in it, there will be many hotels, there will be many airlines, there will be many sightseeing attractions. So all of this will have taxes on it. So clearly it is very good for the country in general. Apart from that, there are certain other taxes which are there, like luxury taxes, which are put on the hotels. Entertainment taxes are especially done with respect to the service providers in entertainment who cater to the not specifically to tourists, but they are famous for the tourists. For example, it might be an Alcazar show, or it might be an musical orchestra, which is attracting tourists from all over the place. Now, we already know that international tourism is very important. Let us just go through what are the main points of importance when we are talking about international tourism. Now, ideally, when we talk about what is the importance of it, it can be with respect to the individual and it can be with respect to the country. Now, excellent outlet for relaxation, that is what we feel when we are going to for an international trip. It is a motivation for employees. Now, this is something known as a travel, wherein employees are gifted for their good performance. So that's an incentive travel. So it's a motivation for employees to work. Creation of noteworthy monuments and structures. Now, if a country is attracting many tourists, the country might make sure that it has lots of things to offer to the tourists. So this is what leads to it creates noteworthy monuments and structures. So suppose if a destination wants to grow as a tourist country or a tourist destination, it might go ahead and start building amusement parks, or it might go ahead and start developing or protecting the sites that it already has. Next, we have creation of many supporting industries and business. Now, we all know that the tourism industry has many supporting industries as well. So, if we are talking about, say, a city which has developed into a tourism hub, we are talking about not only the sightseeing destinations or the hotels. We are talking about every single person who is employed in and around tourism industry. So, we are talking about the shopkeepers who might have an extra profit because of the incoming tourists. So this will be allied businesses which are started. Then again, there might be the local artisans who might have their own business, and people might be coming and taking certain souvenirs or gifts back their home. So these are the businesses which are supporting the tourism business. Then job opportunity. We know that tourism is a service industry. So there are huge job opportunities ranging from skilled to unskilled. So that is employment opportunities that are created. Earning foreign exchange, one of the most important reasons why international tourism is important for a country's economy is it's an foreign exchange earner. So when an inbound tourist is coming, he's bringing with him valuable foreign exchange. Promotion of local cottage industries. This is seen because we are talking about tourists who are coming here and want to experience the culture of that place. So instead of buying branded clothes, they might buy something which is made at that particular place. So suppose if we are talking about going to Kanchipuram, I might want to buy Kanchipuram sarees and come back. If I am going to some other place, I might buy a saree which is ethnically or indigenously made there, and I'm coming back. So similarly, this promotes the local businesses. Addition to the GDP of the country, as all these allied businesses are related to tourism, international tourism, it is an addition to the country's GDP here. Raising the standard of living. Now, when we are talking about a particular destination which starts developing, clearly we have many people who are coming there. The local artisans are getting progressed. This raises the standard of living of the people or of that particular city. Preservation of history and heritage. Here we can see that when we are talking about history and culture of a place, and there are different monuments. For example, the UNESCO Heritage World Heritage title that a monument gets, there are many regulations to it. That is, the government of that particular country has to preserve that particular monument so that it has that tag of a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So if someone is coming and seeing Taj Mahal, and we are say buying tickets or tourism inflow is there, then definitely the government will work to preserve such particular historical and heritage monuments. It's a national pride. Now, there are many structures which are constructed and which have become the national pride of the country. So, say we are talking about Dubai having the supposedly 7-star hotel, which is supposed to be the national pride of that place. Then we have Taj, which is supposedly our national pride. So, what happens here is there are certain iconic things or iconic monuments that come up as a face of that particular country. So it gives national pride to it. Then we have the cultural exchange. Now we know that it's a social impact that we are talking about here. When a person coming from a different country comes and mingles with the people or the host people, there is definite cultural impact or cultural exchange that happens. So it what it does, it teaches something to the host population, and at the same time the tourist who is going back takes something back with him. So that's cultural exchange. Now let us check, why do people travel or take vacations? What are the motivations that tell a person to travel?